This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
And so those are the every tiefling has them traits.
This is why
I got so confused, is because I looked in the player's handbook and you have a grand total of page 42 and 43 of tieflings and then nothing else. And I was like, oh my gosh, they don't even have subraces. But no, they just threw all of them into Mordekainen's. So everything we've talked about up until this point, you can find in the player's handbook. Everything we're about to talk about, you're going to need to reference some other guides like Mordekainen's or Sword Coast Adventures to kind of get some of that information from.
Right. And so what's different about this is it's not strictly speaking a subrace. Because so far when we talked
about... Okay, oh my gosh, yay, wizards, we're getting back into the confusion that we love so much.
Yes, so before what we... Yeah, this is our bread and butter of like, let me explain this really obtuse thing to you. So far when we looked at races, it'll say, okay, here's what all gnomes get, or all elves get, or all dwarves get. And then in addition, when you pick your subrace, you get these other things too. This is different. This is, yeah, there's a lot of similarities, but this replaces everything else instead. And the reason for it is, and some things do still stick, but the reason for it is the conceit in the player's handbook was that Asmodeus was the progenitor of this cursed bloodline. Here in Mordekainen's, it's assuming that one of the other lords of one of the levels of the Nine Hells is the progenitor of this cursed bloodline, or the cause, rather. So they start going through the different levels of hell and the different lords of hell and saying, well, if your tiefling came from a family that struck a deal with, say, for instance, Beelzebub, then it's different. And it'll give you a different set of ability score increases and a different kind of level up in inherent magic, which replaces everything that you had instead of Infernal Legacy.
So unlike the other races, are any other races like this? Or is this the only one that you can think of?
It's the only one I can think of, but I reserve the right to be wrong later.
We reserve the right to redact that statement.
Yes.
So this is going to be potentially the only one, or one of the only ones that don't layer. So you're not going to get both. You're going to get either or, based off of whichever god is, or demon, not god.
Asmodeus likes to think he is, but he's not. So this is unique in that way that it does replace the Infernal Legacy section. And oftentimes, again, it replaces that ability score increase. So let's start just, you know, alphabetically, I guess. And let's look at Beelzebub.
Yeah, because we already went over the first one.
Yeah, Asmodeus. Yeah.
And so we'll move back down to the next one that is on there.
Yeah,
so many weird words in this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you butcher them so that I don't have to.
Okay, so Beelzebub is the ruler of Melodomini, one of the layers of hell, and his whole thing, his whole vibe is that he loves corrupting people who start out not as terrible sinners, but rather he uses those like just the kind of the normal sins of people as a starting point to help tip them over the edge into truly, truly terrible things. And so he is related to the idea of corruption. And so for him, his tieflings, they're going to actually have the same ability score increase, +2 to charisma, +1 to intelligence. But instead of Infernal Legacy, he has the legacy of Melodomini. And so here they get the Thaumaturgy cantrip as normal. And at third level, they instead get Ray of Sickness, which is a great second level spell. And then at fifth level, instead of darkness, they get Crown of Madness. So
what
all of this,
is that?
So all of this is all this corruption idea and decay, basically. So Crown of Madness is a really great spell that basically charms a target, but instead of doing what you want, it just does whatever. It basically has, if you get affected by that spell, you have to use your melee attack to attack a creature other than yourself that is directed by the person charming you. So basically you just like turn on your allies, and you're kind of in this like kind of illusionary twisted crown of jagged iron shows up on your head as the madness glows. Ooh. In its eyes.
I mean, that's great for a chaotic alignment. Mm-hmm. Anybody, like, I yeah, love it.
Yeah, it's kind of like confusion, but a little less so. But basically, it just turns people against their friends, which is kind of, you know, Beelzebub's kind of thing. What's interesting too about all of these Lords of the Nine Hells, some of them come from actual history. Beelzebub was a Canaanite deity and is referenced in the Bible, in Old Testament, and I believe the New Testament. And he's called the Lord of the Flies, which is of the book of the same name, but is kind of like a god of like rain and decay and stuff. It's kind of muddy, but they've chosen to include
rain,
it here.
Muddy.
Okay.
Sorry, right. You left that one wide open.
You can have advantage on your next roll. That was pretty good. So that's the Beelzebub one. And so this is kind of setting up the typical flow for all of these variant tieflings is the ability score changes. Instead of Infernal Legacy, it becomes Legacy of X. And they change out the spells to kind of fit inside the portfolio of what that Lord of the Hells is kind of concerned with. So then
I kind of like to think of the tieflings like great grandpappy being a warlock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this whole thing is you made a deal with the devil and now you're cursed because of it.
Yeah. He's looking at warlocks like, you want tiefling kids? Because that's how you get tiefling kids.
Or like the tieflings that are really concerned about the warlock that's in their adventuring party.
They're like, yeah.
Don't do it, man.
Yeah, man. Listen, did you read all the fine print? Because, yeah. So the next one is Dispater. Dispater occupies the city of Dispater.
I feel like there's so many jokes in there.
Oh, yeah. There are, actually.
It's like a who's on first joke waiting to happen in your campaign.
New plane, who dis? Yes. What? So the second layer of hell, this is a place where secrets are uncovered and shared, often to the highest bidder. And so the tieflings of Dispater, they are excellent spies and infiltrators. It's all about secrets. And so they get a +2 to charisma and a +1 to dexterity, which is kind of fun, going with your kind of roguish archetypes there. They still know the Legacy of Dis, so they still know...
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. We'll never finish the episode.
Dis Legacy. It's Dis Legacy. The Legacy of Dis. I will
Legacy
hold it together.
Legacy of Dis. Legacy of what? Dis. But they still know the Thaumaturgy cantrip. And when they reach third level, they get Disguise Self, which is kind of fun.
Oh, makes sense.
And then fifth level, they get Detect Thoughts, which is also really rad.
Also makes sense with secrets.
Yep. And all of those are per long rest. And of course, Charisma still being the spellcasting modifier.
Thanks so much for tuning into the compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation that Jason and I had. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so that you're always the first to know every time a new episode is published. They come out every Tuesday and Friday, or if you're a patron on our Patreon account, every Monday and Thursday, since you'll get them a day early. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can always follow us on social media by looking up the compendium, C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.